We didn't have summer camp this year.
But you know, one of the important parts of summer camp is camping orders. Camping orders. You know, if you don't have order, you don't have rules, you don't have regulations, you have chaos. And it doesn't matter even if it's only a crowd of 30 or 40. If you don't have rules, you are going to have problems. And of course, if you want to accomplish something for God, you want to have order. You want to have a plan that is carried out. You want to have an atmosphere in which God can work. And you know, God cannot work in a disorderly atmosphere. God never works in that situation. And we see in the book of Numbers, camping orders. And it is amazing, the book of Numbers is called the book of orderly service. Now, but let's put it in context. Book of Numbers, we, last week, we talked about the fact that the people had been numbered. And they totaled it up, the numbers of the people. And you know what? There's over 600,000 people. 600,000 men over 20 years of age. Now, 600,000 men plus, that means you probably had 2.5 million people. That's a lot of people. If every one of these men, or even half of these men were married, and then their grandparents, and then there were children, and there were those under 20, it would not be out of line to think that there's certainly over 2 million people that were on this journey in the wilderness. And, of course, the Hebrew name for the book is In the Wilderness. The English follows the Septuagint, which calls the book Numbers, and because of the fact that there were two numberings of the people of Israel. Now, as we think about this, wow, chaos. Chaos. Think of a baseball game. They only have 50,000 people when it's really full. And that's a lot of people to go, make them go in the right place and march out and get out to their cars. And it takes a lot of time to get all those people wherever they need to go. Now, I think there's another aspect of the situation of Book of Numbers is that the people had, even though they needed much more, they had a little bit of a sense of the greatness of God. God had parted the Red Sea. God had appeared to them, Moses on Mount Sinai, and et cetera, et cetera. There was a little bit of knowledge of God. But I want us to think about a little, some of the things of the marching orders that are given in the book of Numbers. Number one, some of the facts is that when the people camped, The center of the camp was the tabernacle. All the tribes had a position either to the east, the west, the north, or the south of the tabernacle. The center of the camp was the tabernacle. And around the tabernacle, the Levites camped around the tabernacle. Numbers 1, verse 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of the testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. Now, so we have some really amazing things. Center of the camp. It was not only a reality, but it was a picture. It was a visible picture of life. It was a visible picture of God's prominence, of His rule, of His authority. The center of the camp. Everybody, their life was centered around God. Their life was centered around God. Now that's important truth. You just see that. You send it around God. You know what? A real church, the people's lives are centered around God. I've heard stories of people who leave this church and you know what they say? We're tired of our lives revolving around church and God. Yep. They want God to have a little place in their life, and the rest of their life they want to live the way they want to live. And that church is just a little thing you do. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of Christianity out there. That church is just a little thing in your life, and the rest of your life is your own. Now, that's not what we have the picture here. The tabernacle and God were the center of the camp. But you know, there's something else very interesting around here. Notice it says, the Levites shall pitch around about the tabernacle the testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. You know, this God was a holy God. This God was a holy God. And they dare not touch the tabernacle. They not dare intrude into that which is holy and make it profane or commonplace. It was God's tabernacle. And the Levites camped around it almost like a shield to protect the people from infringing or touching that which was holy. And the Levites were to maintain the sanctity of the house of God and the things of God. What a picture that we have just in the camp out, just in where the tents were pitched and how they were pitched. You know, when we have camp out, where the tents are pitched is pretty important, you know. We can see the camp out at Wildcat Mountain. That's where the boys, you know, that's their place. And this is the girls' area. And you know what? And the guys don't go over there and the girls don't go over there. Right? You know, just as simple as that. Well, they had a picture here of the camp. And God was in the center of the camp. And the Levites pitched round about the tabernacle. Now, you know, it tells us, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000, 80,000, and 6,000, and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. Wow. Now, it tells us that God tells every tribe where they're going to camp. They didn't decide where they're going to camp. No. They didn't decide where they're going to camp. God says, here's Judah. And Judah's going to park right here. And next to him, it tells us that the tribe of Issachar and et cetera, it tells us where they're going to camp, I believe. Who's alongside of them? Now notice, it says that Judah shall set forth first. When camp breaks, who goes first? Right? It's not who's on first, but who goes first. And notice who's last. Chapter 2, verse 21. No, wait. Wrong verse. Copied it wrong. Who's last? Okay, thank you. That's why I didn't. I had 21 instead of 31. And they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000, 50, and 7,000, and 600. They shall go hindmost with their standards. They're going to go last. Now, think of the human element here. Think of the human element. Hey, I want to go first. I'm tired of waiting around. I don't want to be last. I don't want to be last. And you know what? I don't want to be last. The enemy's going to attack the last tribe. Got this big long march. I don't want to be last. You know, how many get the, whatever, you know? I don't want to be last. Can you hear that? I don't want to be last. And some people say, I want to be first, right? Well, no, God decides who's first. And God decides who's last. And you know what? God's in charge. And there's 2 million people. And you know what? Just take the percentage in a Baptist church that are team players and the percentage that do their own thing. They don't like to follow rules. They don't like to follow order. They don't like standards. They don't want a leader. Just take that percentage of whatever that is. It varies from church to church. Let's just say it was 20%. 20% of 2 million, you know what that is? That's 400,000 rebels. 400,000 uncooperatives. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff here we're talking about, isn't it? You know, whether you got a church of 100, well, man, this is a church of 2 million. How much more was the spirit of cooperation? Think of what it had to be in their heart to submit. That's right, submit to God. God says this is the way it is. And they had to submit. And it had to be universal. You know, do the figures. Do the amplification. You know, as a parent, when a child is little, And you take that little bit of disobedience and you have to amplify it, right? Man, what if they did this when they're 18? You know what I mean? You ever have that six-month-old slap your hand? Yeah, I had that. Well, I tell you what if it's an 18-year-old slap you? Well, I tell you what, that's pretty serious, isn't it? You better nip it right in the bud. Now, this is the picture here. God is a holy God. God says, is a God of order. And there has to be a spirit of submission and humility among the people to follow God's plan. Camping orders. Wow. Camping orders. It's amazing the camping orders that was here. Now, notice chapter 10, verse 23. Hope I'm in the right place. How did I mess up tonight? I'm in the wrong place again. Sorry. Here's the truth. The first thing in the march, you can help me find the verse.
33.
Pardon me?
33.
Man, I got dyslexia when I did these notes.
There's too many numbers in here.
Yeah, too many numbers. Yeah. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. What's first? What's first? The ark of the covenant. The tribe of Aaron carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the sons of Aaron carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the Levites and their tribes followed with all the wagons, taking all the articles of the tabernacle, the boards and the skins and you name it. Now, what would you have done? Would you put the Ark Covenant first? That's the dangerous spot. You know, this is a picture of leadership. What is a leader? You know, it's easy to take pot shots at the leader. But the book of Numbers has a lot of lessons about taking pot shots at the leader. But notice that God has a different plan than people have. What was the picture? Well, the picture was God. God is first. God is foremost. God is the most important thing. Our blessing comes from God. That's what it's all about. The blessing comes from God. And we have this constant picture. They went over the Jordan. The priests had to be men of faith. The priests led the way, didn't they? The priests put their feet in the river Jordan, and it parted. Why? Picture of spiritual leadership. God's place as number one. What a lesson of faith. What a lesson of the importance of the Lord. Now, of course, we also have the picture of the presence of the Lord, the presence of chapter 9, the leading of the Lord. Verse 15, and on that day the tabernacle was reared up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there is upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. So long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And it was so, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, there they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up from the morning, then they journeyed whither it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Of course, this is the Shekinah glory. It was the cloud of the Lord. It was the glory of the Lord, the very manifest presence of God was pictured, not only pictured by that cloud, but it was in the cloud. God showed his presence in the cloud. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the cloud of the Shekinah glory of God filled the temple. When Moses dedicated the temple, the tabernacle, what came? The cloud of the glory of the Lord shone around. It was the very presence of God. And this is a very picture of their daily life. They wake up in the morning and the cloud starts moving. Didn't matter what their plans were for the day. It was time to move. And maybe they didn't exactly like the place that they were at. Now we know that the tabernacle gives us at least 40 places and times that this whole crowd of 2 million people traveled. That's a big crowd, and quite an expedition. But you know, there was two great truths there. God says, "Go, you go." But the issue was, the cloud was the symbol and the reality of the presence of God. You know, we have it in the New Testament. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew says, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, end of the world. What is it saying? Go. Go. But don't worry. My presence is there. You know what? Most people make a big mistake. Their big mistake is they're afraid to do the will of God. That's the big mistake of most Christians. No, let's reverse it. Let's do a rich here. You know what you should be afraid of? You should be afraid of not doing the will of God. That's what you should be afraid of. Because when you do the will of God, that's where the presence of the Lord is. You know, people take this on a human standpoint and they say, well, you know, I don't want to be a missionary and you know what, this or that, and they got all these human reasonings. You know what? That is totally wrong thinking. If it's God's will, let me tell you what, that's where God's presence is. And if you don't do the will of God, and you don't want to do the will of God, you are in trouble. Because you're leaving the place where the cloud is, and you're going out on your own. And so, that person who who's been called of God to do the will of God, and they don't do it, they're in big trouble. And it doesn't matter what it costs, if God calls you to serve Him, guess what? That's the place of God's presence. That's the place of God's protection. That's the place of God's promises. You know, remember, here's a spiritual picture. Here's a spiritual picture of the Christian life and of the things of God. And so we have what a tremendous picture we have here. Now, there's another interesting thing that the Lord speaks about in chapter 10, verse 2. It says, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the adjournings of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to meet thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that are in the south shall take their journeys. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever through your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. And in the day of gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. The trumpet. You know, assembly, marching forward, going to war. Orderly service. Orderly service. Now, let me ask a question. Are you going to hear the trumpet? The trumpet call of the rapture? In a moment, twinkling of eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive shall be caught up together to be with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What if the trumpet blew tonight? Are you ready? Aren't you glad that if you're saved, when the trumpet calls, you're going to rise up? Amen? You're going to be raptured? Well, you know, the trumpet is also marching orders. It's marching orders. The same people who have the trumpet call for worship and serving the Lord and gladness, they also have the trumpet call of going, of an alarm, of going to war. And we have that trumpet call. The people of God go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. That's a part of orderly service, isn't it? That's a part of orderly service. You know, the Great Commission is the trumpet call. It's upon every believer. It's right in the Bible. It's the trumpet call. In one sense of the word, you know, the trumpet call comes every Sunday. Every Sunday. The first day of the week, the trumpet call for the people of God to assemble. You know, yeah, the trumpets of the Lord. Now, as we think about some principles here, we think of the principles of submission of all to God. There was a surrender to service. All the camp. This is where you camp. This is when you camp. This is when you journey. Everybody. No one was exempt. Just like we said last week, everybody is numbered. God didn't miss anybody. Everybody counts. Everybody is expected to obey. It takes surrender to the service. Surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Surrender. Surrender to the service. We have submission to the plan. Submission to the plan. You know, that is pretty important. How many believers out there have given up on the local church? That's God's plan. How many people have a better plan? A lot of people have a better plan. A lot of people, they're the center of their life, and they want to look good, and so they go to church. But the church isn't, following the plan for the church isn't the plan for their life. They got their own Christian life. They do it their way. And there's a lot of that today. And there are certain groups of Christians that really love to be in a weak church so they can be the big shots. That's their whole idea. They want to be the big shots. They know all the answers. And they don't need any help with their kids. Yeah, they do it their way. And we can give lots of examples of that. Submission to the plan. Submission to the plan. Humility before the Lord. Availability and adjustability instantaneously. Whoop! Cloud just moved. Oh no. I don't feel like following the cloud today. You know what I'm saying? Those people are human just like us. They had plans, you know? Maybe they had a tea party planned. You know? Maybe they had a birthday party planned. You know? Maybe they had a ladies get together planned. You know, maybe they had a golf outing planned. I don't know what they had planned, but you know what? The plans were all over when the cloud moved. And there had to be submission to God. Had to be submission to God. No, this is a very human reality, isn't it? You know, so many people are so unavailable and so unadjustable to serving God. It doesn't quite fit, doesn't quite work. It's a little bit of an inconvenience. It's got to fit into my plans. We can't just do it. You know, wow. That didn't go. Not when you have 2 million people. Doesn't matter if you have 2 million people or if you have 25 people. You know, most little churches, you know why most little churches stay little? It's because all you need is one or two families that are independent, got their own ideas, don't go with the program. I'm not talking about a bad church. They do their own thing. What are you going to do when you got 25% of the people aren't humble? What are you going to do? You had 25% of the people going to do their own thing. They'll never grow. They just go from, they go from pastor to pastor to pastor to pastor. And someone has, comes in the idea that, boy, they're going to change this place, and they're there for a couple of years, and they say, forget it. Right? All over America. We're talking about independent fundamental Baptist churches. That's why they're small. Yeah, some places are harder than others. And et cetera, et cetera. And some places they're smaller. The smaller base of people, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm thinking of general principle. These little churches are going to stay little forever because they have stubborn people in them that won't cooperate. And they think they have all the right in the world just to be their own person. And the work of God will... All you got to do is talk to pastors. They went to this church. Oh, man. What a nightmare. Next pastor comes. Oh, what a nightmare. Next pastor comes. What a nightmare. No. 2 million people. The spirit of humility had to be big. It had to be there. And of course, we see a very interesting thing. And we're going to deal with this a little bit more. But we find a recognition of the calling of God. And we'll deal with this a little bit later. You know what? The Levites were the Levites. The children of Aaron were the children of Aaron. And the Kohathites, in chapter 15, they came to Moses with the princes. You know what that means? You have 80,000 people in your tribe, and you know what? You got leaders, right? And there's big time leaders and there's underneath leaders. And they knew about organizing and keeping the thing going. And they were good. They were princes. And the princes came to Moses. And they said, Moses, we're just as good as you. We know how to handle things. What are you doing? What are you doing? We got our own ideas. We're just as good as you. You know? Come on. No. Moses says, that's not it. Moses said, that's not it. The issue is, God called me. That's the issue. Was it that Moses was infallible? No. Did Moses make mistakes? Yeah. But what was the issue? God called him. You know, God calls fallible people to be leaders. You know, every husband, every lady, you know what? You have a fallible leader, right? You have a fallible leader. And you know what? In many cases, it wasn't his choice. It was God's choice. Amen? God had a choice. You know what? It said the Levites camped around the tabernacle. You know what it said? It said, Levites, don't you touch anything, any article of the tabernacle. Aaron and his family, they take the articles, they cover it up. They cover it up. You're not even watching. They cover it up, and then you come and you carry it. But if you look in there, you're dead. That's not your job. That's Aaron's job. And the Levites had a job around the tabernacle to protect the people from invading the office that didn't belong to them. Wow, what a sobering picture. Now, I didn't paint the picture, God did. It's in the Bible. Now, I could give you stories and stories and stories of how this happens. That people are not content with the call that God has put upon them, and they want to take the call of somebody else. You know, can you imagine all the people, you know, I was alive in the days of Vince Lombardi. And our family watched Green Bay Packers every game. And you know what? I'm sure that we second-guessed Vince Lombardi. And we might say, what in the world did he do that for? Yeah, you know, that's kind of human, isn't it? You know? The living room couch, coaching staff. Well, that's human. But God has a different plan. It's an orderly God, a holy God, who has a reason for everything he does. And the picture here is beautiful. Ark goes first. Levites follow with the ark. Judah, all the way down to Dan. Every enemy was going to be defeated. Wasn't going to be one person die. I don't know how that all works. But it was a perfect plan. Because God was in the center. You know, it's kind of like in your home. You know, when you have family devotions, there's a picture to these little kids. There's a visible picture. Oh, there's somebody bigger than my daddy. Right? There's somebody bigger than my daddy. There's somebody that my dad is submitted to. There's someone that my daddy shows that he's the most important thing. He's not perfect. My daddy's not perfect, but my dad, God's the center of our home. It's a little picture, isn't it? It's a little picture. And God had a great picture here, the book of Numbers. I think there's great things for us to think about from this great book in the Bible. I'm kind of a big picture guy. I'm not one of those guys who can take the verse and find 57 points on the fact that there was 20,000 people in this particular tribe. But I think the Bible is really given so you can see the big picture. And the big picture is here. Don't get lost in the details that miss the big picture. You can know all these facts, but don't miss the big picture. The spiritual lesson is in the big picture. Amen. The spiritual lessons in the big picture. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. And it's exciting, Lord, to see what you've done. It's exciting to study the Bible. It's exciting, Lord, to see how you work. Lord, there's so many lessons for us today. So many lessons. And Lord, we know that the purpose of the lessons is very simple, that it may go well with thee and with thy children and thy children's children, that they might live, they might have the blessing of God. And Lord, we can take a moment and we can think of how, as human beings with a sinful nature, it was a miracle. It was a miracle to have the cooperation and submission of those people to the marching orders of God. Help us not to marvel and to give credit where credit is due, Lord, in this wonderful picture of the people of God following the Lord and the order that was apparent, was obviously amazing in the camp of God. And Lord, what an amazing thing that where there is God, there is order and joy and peace and safety all at the same time. Now, Lord, pray that you'd use your word tonight. And I pray that even now, your Holy Spirit would help us to see the picture. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to look within our own selves and to apply these truths and to see, Lord, if what we are would be multiplied, what would be the status of the work of God? And help us to see that the blessing of God comes upon orderly service, and certainly that takes the filling of the Holy Spirit and a humble heart. And so, Lord, we pray where there is surrender needed, there would be a surrender to serve God His way. And Lord, where there are those who are not saved and they're lack of salvation is shown by a rebellious spirit. They don't want to follow orders. They don't want to be under authority. They don't want to inconvenience their life. Lord, help them to see the darkness of their soul. And Lord, that they truly Lord, need real salvation so that they can serve the real God of heaven and be who they ought to be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps the Lord is speaking to you tonight and you say, Lord has spoken my heart. I don't know what it might be. It might be something little, might be something big. This is a big passage of Scripture, a big subject. And it might be it's big. And you say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart tonight. You know, if my spirit was multiplied, this church would have all the blessing in the world. Or could it would be the opposite? And God is speaking to your heart. And it starts with a young person as a sinner coming to Christ, as a sinner, a saved sinner submitting to Christ, giving up their own will, submitting to God's word. So the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Holy Spirit is bigger than the preacher. God's spoken to your heart tonight. There's a decision you ought to make. Just might lift up your hand where we might be and not too proud to say that or admit that. God has spoken to your heart. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for some. Amen. That's an important thing to consider. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, young people. Lord, pray that you'd bless those that have such tender hearts that even tonight at this late hour, they're concerned about obeying you and listening to you. And Lord, may you bless them. Might they see the blessing, Lord, of being following the cloud of the Lord, having his presence there. Lord, use the truth of the word of God in our church for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. this would be a challenge to you to what kind of Christian you are. If you really, what is your authority? The Bible? Are you just following whims of men, spiritual movements? Are you an obedient Christian? When the Bible, you go to the Bible and you want to obey what God says. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you that, Lord, salvation is real. And Lord, these are simple, simple truths. Lord, there's many people trying to explain them away today. Lord, we have to admit they're a little bit bigger than us. But we rejoice in the reality of that day for each of us have been saved, the day we trusted Christ and the new genetics we got and how, Lord, as we read the Bible and obeyed the Bible, we grew, came to greater understanding and delight in knowing Christ. And I pray today that there's a person here that is saved, but Lord, is kind of leaning under their own understanding, not living a life where the Bible is the authority and doing God's will is the main thing. I pray that, Lord, they would be convicted even today. I pray that that person who does not know Jesus, I pray that they would have understood what we said today. Those who perhaps said a prayer, but Lord, didn't understand, never were truly born again, and they wonder why they don't want to obey. They wonder why they don't understand and don't have convictions in their life. Lord, I hope that they would understand today what the real issue is. that they need to come as a lost sinner to Jesus and be born into his family. Lord, help them. We pray, Lord, you bless the people of God as we live in a very confused world, and especially a spiritual world. Help us, Lord, to be able to see clearly because of what the Bible says. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.